North End and Colel, share given on Sunday, the 31st of January 2010, Teslayin Shvat Tafshin Ayin, share given by Gershon Hepner. We're doing Tehillim chapter Teslayin, and we're up to Posuk Base. Last week we managed a grand total of one Posuk. Okay, and most of it was about the first word. Let's quickly zoom over Posuk Aleph. Michtom le David, a Michtom for David, and we had all the best pshatim on that word. Michtom, shomini kel gav mi Hashem ki chasi sivach, because I trust in you. Okay, Posuk Base. Omart l'Hashem, we're going to do Psukim Base and Gimel together, because they form very much, they're almost indivisible. And hopefully we'll cover them both fully today. Omart l'Hashem, you said to God, Hashem Ota, you are my God, or you are God. Tovasi, my good, Bal Olecha, is not on you. And what on earth that means, obviously we'll come to it.
It is.
Our merit is feminine, that's a major issue. Yeah, yeah.
It
is feminine. Our merit is feminine. Tovasi, my good, Bal. The word Bal means not. Yeah, the word Baal. Beis Lamed means not. Like
Baltimore does not be moved.
Oh, very good. Yeah, Baltimore. Yes. Yeah. Likadoshim asher ba'oretz hema, for the holy ones who are in the earth, they are the adire and the mighty ones. Kol cheftivom, all my desire is through them. That's the translation, and we're completely lost without the Mefarshim. So the first thing to ask is, David says, on merit, you said, to whom is David talking? And it's the question is compounded by the fact that the word on merit, as you said, Norman, is in the feminine. On merito would be you said in the masculine. On merit, you said, is in the feminine. So to whom is David talking? So Rashi explains that the pasuk is David talking to the whole of Klal Yisrael. Kneses Yisrael. He's talking to Klal Yisrael, and the point being that the word Kneses is feminine. Like most feminine, that many nouns that finish with the letter Sof are feminine. So Kneses is feminine. It probably is a smicha. It probably comes from the word Knesiyah, which is also feminine. So it's a feminine word. So David is talking to Klal Yisrael, which is Knesset Yisrael, talking to the congregation of Israel, and therefore it's in the feminine, on merit, you said. And you said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Ota, you are God. So Klal Yisrael turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they accept his authority. Hashem Ota, you are God. We accept your authority. That is the first pshat brought by Rashi, and it brings the second pshat, that it's David not talking to Klal Yisrael, to Knesset Yisrael, but rather talking to himself. And he's addressing his nefesh, his inner soul. And the word nefesh is feminine. Like we say in Friday Night Zemir, it's menefesh metzeiro, lenefesh metzeiro. It's feminine. Nefesh is a feminine noun. And David is saying, is talking to himself, saying, you, my nefesh, you've accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you said to Hashem, Hashem Otto, you are my God. So you've accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Otto, you are my God.
Another way you could say, if this is talking about Klal Yisrael, it should be we. Because he's a member of, David HaMelech is a member of Klal Yisrael. So it should be we. If he's talking about his nefesh, then it would be I.
Yes, but he's talking. Yeah, it's a good point. I don't know the answer. Probably, I guess the thing is that he's talking to his nefesh, talking to his inner soul, as though it's a different entity talking to his nefesh. Yeah, it's a good point. Why doesn't he put it in the first person? Yeah, I don't think I know the answer. Yeah, but he's talking to his nefesh. No. It's David talking to his own nefesh. David talking to his own nefesh, saying to the nefesh, you, nefesh, have addressed God and have said to God, Hashem Otto, you are my God. Yeah? This is echoed, by the way, in the Targum. The Targum translation is, Malelt ant nafshi kodam Hashem. Malelt means you said. Malelt ant nafshi kodam Hashem. You said, you, my soul, you said to Hashem, Tivros, where's it gone? Eloki Ant, you are my God. So again, the Targum actually adds in that word Nafshi, so you can see Rashi's Pshat is echoed there in the Targum. Don't be so surprised to discover this about a person being referred to in the feminine, and that feminine referring to the Nefesh. Rashi quotes a pasuk. The pasuk is in Shmuel Beis, and it's at the end of chapter Yud Gimel, where David is prepared to forgive Avshalom for having killed Amnon. He's got over the death of his son Amnon. Amnon was murdered by Avshalom, another son. Oh yes, yes, yes. Pardon? He murdered him, absolutely murdered him. He murdered him, it was almost like a cause célèbre because he has Amnon raped Avshalom's sister Tamar. Gosh, his name's got to juggle all the names there. So, and in revenge for that, Avshalom killed his own half brother Amnon. And then Avshalom ran away. He ran off to a country which is really part of Israel, a country called Geshur, where Avshalom's maternal grandparents lived. And there Avshalom's mother was called Ma'acha, and her parents lived in Geshur. And he ran off to Geshur. I can't remember how long he was there. And after a while, David was reconciled to Amnon's death and was ready to take him back. And the pasuk there says that it's in Shmuel Beis, chapter Yud Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Tes, Vatachal David HaMelech Lotzeis El Avshalom. And Avshalom, and David's heart, or David's nefesh, longed for Avshalom. And that word Vatachal is used together with the word David. Well, David is masculine and Vatachal is feminine. So Rashi and all the Farshim explain that the word Vatachal means Vatachal nefesh David. The nefesh of David longed for Avshalom. So then you see, although David is of course masculine, the nefesh is referred to in the feminine. And in that passage, the word nefesh does not appear, but it's implied. Vatachal nefesh, vatachal David Amelech, meaning the soul of David longed for Avshalom.
But who was quite
appreciative? Who? Avshalom? Amnon. Amnon, who wrote Tamar, was Echad Misa.
That's why David sits through there.
Was he Chayv Misa? I think halachically he was not Chayv Misa.
No.
No, I think not. Because for lots of complicated halachic reasons. Number one, she was not married to anybody else. So she was a penuya. And number two, although they were biologically half brother and half sister, there is a halachic complication there. Tamar's mother, Ma'acha, became a Gioress while she was pregnant with Tamar.
Oh.
Therefore Tamar was born a Gioress. And being a Gioress, she had no halachic relationship with her own biological half-brother Amnon. And David turned round to Amnon after the whole incident and said, why didn't you ask me to marry her? I would have allowed you to marry her. If you would have asked me to marry her, I would have said, Gesundheit, hate, marry her, because halachically you are allowed to. Complex. Anyway, so therefore...
Was she born a
year? Pardon?
She was born a
year. She was born a Gioress. Because the mother became a Gioress whilst pregnant. And in that case, if the mother is pregnant at the moment of Gerus, the child is born a Ger, or in this case a Gioress. I think I've got it right. Anyway, let's move on. Yeah, that's the complexities of Amnon and Tamar.
She must have been Jewish.
Yes, she was Jewish, absolutely. No, not if the girl is single. She wasn't an Ashish Ish. She was a Penuya. So that's one reason not to make him Amnon Chayv Misa. Pardon? Yeah. There's Pesukim there. It was at home. The whole story. Amnon didn't want to marry her. He didn't love her. He just lusted after her. And he pretended to be unwell, and she brought him as his half sister. She brought him a meal, and then the privacy of the room, he raped her. Okay, that's the. Right. Now, let's come on to the second half. Amar la Hashem Hashem Otah. Tovasi balalecha. Excuse me. Tovasi balalecha. My good is not on you. What on earth does that mean? Says Rashi, my good is not on you. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are very, very good to me. But it's not incumbent upon you to be good to me. You don't owe me anything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And despite not owing me anything, and you're not chayv to do good to me, but you do good to me. Therefore, the goodness that you give me is all pure chesed. Tovasi, all the good that happens to me, Baal Alecha, is not upon you. It's not incumbent upon you to be good to me. You are good to me, pure chesed. That's how the Rashi learns the pasuk. So, Amat Hashem, you turn to God and you say to him, Hashem Otto, you are my God. Tovasi Baal Alecha, all the good you do to me is not incumbent upon you to do to me, but you still do good to me. The Targum learns completely differently. The Targum on this expression, Tovasi Baal Alecha, the Targum's expression is, Tivosi, my good, all the good that happens to me, Lo Misyehiva Bar Minoch, is only given to me through you. So that word, Baal Alecha, is, yes, Baal Alecha,
the, my mind doesn't
know. Yes?
I'm sure the word Baal is occasionally used as only.
That's exactly how the Targum learns it. The Targum learns Baal Alecha has. Let me give you the one Hebrew word, Mibalodecha. The Targum's interpretation of Baal Alecha is like the Hebrew Mibalodecha, not through anyone other than you. So Tovasi Baal Alecha means nothing good happens to me from any other source. The source of all my goodness is you and only you. Tivasi Baal Alecha, no good ever happens to me from any other source other than you. Tivasi Lo Misyehiva, the goodness, all goodness happens to me, is given to me only, it is not given to me from any other source, Bar Minoch, other than from you. That's how the Targum learns it. Yeah? What do you think of, Norman?
It's a different
second. Okay. Alright. Okay. The Matudas David explains that Hashem Otto, Amad Lashem Hashem Otto, this expression of Hashem, spelled Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, of course, is an expression of Adonus, or of Adnus, of mastery. And it's an expression of humility. I humble myself before you, I subjugate myself before you, I am machnia myself, I subjugate myself before you, because you, Hashem, are Hashem with Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. You are my master and I'm your servant, and therefore I'm subjugated to you. That's how the Mitzvah David learns. The Ibn Ezra explains, Tovasi Baal Alecha, my goodness is not on you. He says, very similar to Rashi, namely, you don't owe me anything, you don't have to give me any reward, but you still do. And he quotes the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in the first Perek of Pirkei Avos, which is given to us by Antigonus Ish Socho, where the Mishnah says, Al tihyu ka'avodim ha'msham shimes harav ha'manos l'kaba pros. Don't serve Hashem like a servant who has expectation of payment. Elobat, hevu ka'avodim ha'msham shimes harav, be like a servant who serves his master, shelo ha'manos l'kaba pros, with no expectation of any reward. So he says, Tovasi Baal Alecha, I serve you, I don't expect anything back in return. Yeah, I'm like the servant who serves you purely for the sake of serving you, no other reason. And then the Ibn Ezra goes on to quote a tefillah, which he says was said by Reb Shlomo HaSefaradi. I suppose we should pronounce it Rav Shlomo HaSefaradi. Yeah. He quotes the Ibn Ezra quotes this Rav Shlomo HaSefaradi, and he says this is a tefillah recited by this Rav Shlomo HaSefaradi. Hinei lecha, behold, I am before you. Lo li omdi lefanecha, I'm not standing before you, Hashem, because of me. I'm not standing in front of you for my sake. Oleshem kevodecha, I'm really standing before you for the sake of your own honor. Lo lischa pelosi, I'm not doing it for the reward of my own actions. I'm standing in front of you in prayer purely for your sake, Hashem, not for mine. So that's tevasi baal alecha, I'm not expecting anything back in return. And then, oh, I've no idea. Ibn Ezra quotes him. I've no idea.
Ibn Ezra quotes him.
Yeah, so it's going back to the times of Rishonim. Rav Shlomo HaSefaradi, I don't know anything about him. And then he quotes Rav Moshe, and I don't know anything about him either. He says, Tovasi Baal Alecha, he says, similar idea, he says, I don't deserve any goodness from you, Hashem. Tovasi Baal Alecha, you're not mechuyav to do any good to me, but rather, And now it links into Pasuk Gimel, Likadoshim Asher Ba'oretz Heimol. All the holy people who are now Ba'oretz, they're now buried. Holy people who are no longer alive. They're the ones who are deserving of your goodness. For me, I don't deserve anything. Tevasiv alonecha. You do good to me, I don't deserve it, I don't ask for it. But really, I pray to your HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you should instead perform kindness and goodness to the people who are the Kadoshim Asher Ba'oretz, the people who are already buried in the earth. So this is really one of the main... You'll see now why I'm taking Sukkim and Beis and Gimel together. They're very, very interlinked. We have to learn them both as one unit. And then he says... Yeah, that's how the Ibn Ezra learns it. He says that the pshat that I understand is that I'm praying to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you should perform kindness and goodness to the Kadoshim, to the holy people who are Ba'oretz. And then the Ibn Ezra goes on to say... that the word Kedoshim by itself really is a reference to Malachim. The word Kedoshim means Malachim. And he proves it from a Pasuk in Zechariah. It's in Zechariah chapter Yud Dalad, Pasuk Hey. And I cannot profess to really understand this Pasuk, but it's to do with the war of Gog and Magog. And the Pasuk finishes with Ova Hashem Elokai, God, my Lord, will come. And Kol Kedoshim Imach, with all the holy ones with you. And the Mefarshim on that pasuk say that word Kedoshim refers to Malachim. Says the Ibn Ezra, the word Kedoshim by itself refers to Malachim. Here in our pasuk, David is not referring to Malachim. He's referring to human beings who have passed away and who are now Ba'aretz, who are now on the earth. So in order to give that definition that we're referring to Tzadikim who have died, the David has to be very clear and qualifies the word Kedoshim. We're not talking about Kedoshim, they are Malachim. We're talking the Kedoshim Asher Ba'aretz, people who are in the earth. We're talking about human beings who are holy, who have now passed away and are now buried in the earth.
Why?
Because they are Ba'aretz. We're talking about holy people. You said that pshat last week, didn't you? Asher Ba'aretz, we're talking about people, you said last week, the people who are, that maybe Ba'aretz means exes are. I didn't see that pshat anywhere. That really, Likadosh Asher Ba'aretz means holy people who have died. And we're going to see later that while a person is alive, he cannot be called Kadosh. It's only when once his life is over, then he'll be called Kadosh. Kedoshim, absolutely, yeah. But we're talking about here, David says, I'm referring to tzaddikim who have finished their lives, and once finished their lives, they can now be called Kedoshim, they're now buried. So therefore, so just to recap on that, Ibn Ezra, the word Kedoshim by itself is a reference to Malachim. Proof, Pasuk in Zechariah. But because David is not referring to Malachim, but rather referring to human beings who are tzaddikim, he has to qualify and say the Kedoshim Asher Ba'aretz.
So very clearly explained. Thank you, Gershon. But the second pasuk, base, it's talking about this idea that there are any people who are kedoshim in the lands in the earth are deserving of Hashem's goodness.
Yes.
But once you're nifter, that's it. It's over now.
Oh no! So, that's when they get the reward. That's the time of reward.
I was thinking. Okay, great. So, but it's still static. It's implying a continuous... I was reading it as if it's a continuous relationship between the Kedoshim and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It can't be a continuous relationship. It's not a dynamic relationship anymore. Because you've done your mitzvahs, you've done your Torah in this world. Once you're 6 feet under, there's nothing more you can do.
Yes, you're right. Of course, kibun shemis nasa chofshi min hamitzvus. Once a person has died, he's chofshi, he's free from all the mitzvahs. In other words, he can't perform any more mitzvahs. That's correct. But and the answer therefore has to be, I don't really know. But one, we do know that on a person's yacht site, the neshama has an aliyah. The neshama has an aliyah. So therefore, there is change. And here David is davening, please perform chesed to the people who are no longer alive. They should have a greater and greater chelek in olam haba. They should become closer and closer. I believe the neshama gets closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with each passing yacht site.
When a tzaddik dies, does his neshama leave? Is this is a recoming mother?
I can't possibly know. I've heard such a thought.
The Malach doesn't have a will of his own.
Yeah.
The Neshama. Yeah. She doesn't have a will of his own because it's no longer in a group. But is it necessarily a Malach? Mm-hmm.
Hang on a second. Sorry. I don't think I'm recording. Oh no, I'm not recording. Okay, I'll just record on the tape. Sorry, I'm sorry now. Okay, let's go on the tape. Sorry. Okay. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. The shama of a person transforms into that of a malach. I don't know. Okay, let's move on. The Radak brings an interesting pshat. Tovasi balolecho, my goodness is not upon you. He brings a pshat in the name of his father. Very nice to see. And he says, Tovasi balolecho, he says, all the good that I perform, balolecho, has no effect on you. That is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being the omnipotent and all-powerful, when we do Torah and Mitzvahs, when we keep Torah and Mitzvahs, it actually doesn't affect HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any way. There's no effect on him. He recognizes the fact we've done Mitzvahs and he rewards us for it, but it doesn't make him feel better. It's not like you do a favor for a human being and Reuven helps Shimon, so Shimon's better off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no better off whether we perform mitzvahs or not. All the good that we do doesn't affect him in any way. Tovasi, the good that I do, Baal Alecho, has no effect on you. That's how he learns it. Yeah, has no effect on you. That's how the Radak learns the Pshat. Yeah? And he connects it again to Pasuk Gimel. Why do I do good? Because I wish to emulate the Kedoshim Asher Ba'aretz, those who are the holy people who have since passed away. I want to follow in their footsteps. I want to do good things. I'll answer you. The well-known pshat of the Sefer Chinuch is that Baruch Atah Hashem, that word Baruch does not really mean blessed. It means Baruch Atah Hashem, you Hashem are the source of all bracha. That's a well-known pshat written in the Sefer Chinuch. Yeah. I do not know the Sefer Chinuch by heart. That's a very famous pshat from the Sefer Chinuch. Okay. The Malbim. Let's come on to the Malbim, and the Malbim's approach is very, very similar to that of Reb Shimshon von Hirsch. Says the Malbim, Amrat Lashem, you, again, David addressing, let's say, his soul, has said to Hashem, Hashem Otto, you are the master. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, you are the master. But, Tovasi, So let's now learn according to Reb Shimshon von Hirsch. And I'm going to introduce it. Reb Shimshon von Hirsch, and I mentioned this last week, Reb Shimshon von Hirsch learns that this chapter, he says this in the name of his Rebbe, Chacham Rabbi Yitzchak Bernays, that David here in this chapter is doing teshuvah for an early philosophical mistake that he made early on in his life. And the mistake is that, yes, he recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the creator of the world, but day-to-day happenings are not ordained by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so far removed from Olam Hazeh, he's so holy, he's so lofty, that he doesn't get involved with all the day-to-day things that happen in Olam Hazeh. This was an early philosophical mistake made by David HaMelech, and this chapter is his teshuvah for that mistake. Yeah? And as I mentioned last week, the mistake is based on a frumkeit, because you're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so holy, so lofty, that it's not going to get involved in Olam Hazeh. Now, this is, according to Reb Shimshon von Hirsch, that was David's early mistake in life, and the pshat is given as Hashem Otto, yes, you are the Odon, you are the master, but Tovasi, any good things that happen to me in life, Baal Olecho, are not because of you. All the little good things that happen to me in life are because of other earthly powers, earthly powers, like the sun, the moon, the stars, the hills, the rivers, and so on. This was a mistake that Dovid is now doing teshuva for, yeah, and it's brought as well very much by the Malbim in a very similar idea, but the Malbim learns it in much more detail, and the Malbim says it's not Dovid's mistake; it's the people who served real Rishoyim who really have this firm, deeply entrenched belief that while HaKadosh Baruch Hu may well have created the world, having created the world, he then left the world to its own devices. And this, and what I'll now say is the way the Malbim learns it. Omarit Lashem, you, Rishoyim, have turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, Hashem Otto, yes, you are the master of the world, you made the world. But, Tovasi, anything good that happens to me, Bal Olecha, is not down to you. Good things that happen to me are rather Likadoshim Asher Ba'aretz, due to things that I, the Rosha, deem holy, which are Ba'aretz, which are on earth. Like Asher Ba'aretz Hema, which are on earth. Like the sun and the moon and rivers and so on. These are earthly powers that control mundane human existence. The adirei and mighty objects, strong objects like hills, like planets and so on, kol cheftzibom, all my desires are through them. This is how the Malbim learns it. In other words, it's David speaking this time to Rishoyim. Whole new chat. It's David addressing himself to the Rishoyim. You're Rishoyim. You may well recognize that Hashem made the world. That's not enough. You have then excluded Hashem from the picture, and you've now said that all earthly happenings are down to earthly objects. Nonsense, he says. And it goes on to say, in Pasuk Dalet, Yirbu'at Svosom Achem Ahoru. Those people who chase after all these other powers, they should have many, many sadnesses in life. They're all wrong, and Bala Sech Miskem Adom, I won't have any part of that philosophy. So David is saying it's a nonsense. So we've got two pshatim here. They're very close in pshat. We've got Rav Shimshon von Hirsch, who says it was David's early philosophical mistake in life, and now he's doing teshuva for it. And we've got the Malbim's pshat, who says it's David criticizing Rishoyim and saying that they believe that Hashem may well have made the world, but after that point he then left the world to its own devices and ordained earthly powers with power. He ordained earthly objects with powers to control the world, and David now is decrying that philosophy and telling Rishoyim off for it. Say something.
This may well be a naive question, but there are so many ways we can understand these proceedings. People have different opinions. Is there anyone who's come along and said, this is the way authentically we should explain this?
Yes. Each of them says, each of the Mefarshim say, this is the way to explain it. Yeah? This is the way.
So I'm in trouble by
it. Absolutely. It's a problem. The whole style that I give the Shir with so many different shots in can leave you completely baffled, because there's just so many different ways of learning the pshatim, and it's hafach b'adachola ba. You got to learn it as much as you can in all different ways. Shivim panam l'Torah. It's many different ways of explaining
this. Yes, is. Take from this what possibly is applicable to them, and I think maybe this is something we should bear in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And all the different gedolim explain pesukim in different ways. Yeah, absolutely.
If you have knowledge, you can work things out for yourself. If you're just using your intellect without the knowledge, you can go dangerously wrong.
So we rely on them fresh and to explain it for us. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's come on to this interesting word. Omarit, which is in the past tense. Omarit, you said, beginning of positive base. Omarit, you said, it's in the past tense. Now, Rabbi Shaya from Turin, who is the author of the Tosus Rid on Shas, and every time I quote to the Sefer, I have to give cover to my amazing son, to Yaakov Chaim, who discovered that I had the Sefer on the shelf. I didn't even know it. Yeah? And he loves looking at Sefer. He knows libraries inside out. So, Rabbi Shaya from Turin says, what's Pshat in this idea of having the word on merit in the past tense? He says, it's written in the past tense, but it has the meaning of a present tense or even a future tense. And he says, don't be surprised by that. We do find words in the past tense which actually have the meaning of a future tense. And he quotes the Pasuk in Chayei Sarah. It's in Chayei Sarah, chapter Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, when Avraham Avinu is negotiating with Ephron over the purchase of the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. And there, Avraham Avinu says, I wish you'd listen to me. Nosati kesef hasodeh. I've given the money of the field. Kach mimeni. Take it from me. Well, that's a bit of a contradiction. If I've given it already, then you can't take it from me. I've given it already. So the pshat is. So I'll just finish the pshat. So Rashi explains on that posuk that nosati means I wish I could already have given it to you. I'm expressing a wish. Halavai, I've already given it to you. That's how Rashi learns it. And Rabbi Shai from Turin learns a very similar pshat. I'm so certain that I'm going to give it to you, it is as though I have already given it to you. And we use a past tense, even though it actually has a future tense meaning. That's how Rabbi Shai from Turin learns. Another sefer which I have, called Pirush on Tehillim, called Me'ir Tov, quotes a posuk in Yirmiyahu, it's chapter base, posuk Kav Zayin, where the Pasuk says there, he says differently, he says that it's David HaMelech saying, I have recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the past tense, Adu Hashem Otto, you are God, and I've done that in the past tense even when times were good. I don't just turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recognize him as my God when times are bad. I don't just turn to him in times of distress. No, I've even turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the good times. And that's why it's in the past tense. On merit, I've turned to Hashem in the past. I've said, Hashem, Otto, you're my God. Even during the good times, I've said that. I've recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu even during the good times. And he contrasts this with the past tense. Because in the past, when times were good, even then, I've said, Hashem, Otto, you are my God. And I don't just turn to him, let's say, now, when times might be a bit tough. I've all the time, even in the past, all the time I've recognized Hashem as my God. Yeah, even during good times. And he contrasts it with this Pasuk in Yirmiyah, chapter base Pasuk Kav Zayin, where the Pasuk says, Uve Esra Asam, at bad times, Yomru, they've said to Hashem, Kuma B'Hashienu, arise and save us. Referring to people who daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they've only done so, Uve Esra Asam, when times have been bad. So David says, I'm not like that. I turn to you even during the good times. And that's why it's put in the past tense on merit, even in the past tense when times are good. Oh, now we come on to the Me'iri. The Me'iri's pshat. Yeah, get ready for a whole new pshat, Norman. Whole new pshat, yeah? On merit la Hashem, Hashem Otto, says the Me'iri, what's this word on merit? Well, we know the word on merit means you said. Says the Me'iri, whole new pshat. The word omart, the root aleph mem resh, is used in Parashas Kisavo in a totally different meaning. The pasuk in Parashas Kisavo, and you'll find it in chapter Kavvov, pasuk Yud Zayin, where the pasuk there says, just before, where the pasuk says, Es Hashem he'emarto hayom. You, Klal Yisrael, have extolled Hashem, and the word he'emarito means you singled out someone as your special friend. Es Hashem he'emarito hayom. You've singled out Hashem as your special friend today. Lios l'chol elokim, to be a God for you. And we have then the pasuk goes on in the next pasuk. We have the exact parallel. Vashem he'emircha hayom, and Hashem has singled you out today as His special friend. Lihios lolam seguda, to be a treasured nation to Him. So here you see Aleph Mem Resh has a totally different meaning. Aleph Mem Resh can mean to single someone out as your special friend. Don't be surprised about that. The word emir, E-M-I-R, means an Arab prince. And the United Arab Emirates, it comes from that. And the Emiri, the nation called Emiri, they're called Emiri because that's considered like a princedom. That's Emiri, yeah? And then we use it, the United Arab Emirates comes from Aleph Mem Resh, which, and I heard that from Clive Fistone, who taught me so much TikTok and still continues to. So he's learned the whole of Tanakh many times. Yeah. So Aleph Mem Resh means to extol or to be considered a special friend. Says the Me'iri, that's Pshat in our Pasuk, where we have on merits Hashem. You've singled out Hashem and you've extolled him and you've expressed him to be your special friend. Hashem Otzar, you're my master. And then he asks Kasha on that. And he says, that doesn't quite work. He asks Kasha on his own pshat, the Mi'iri. What's my name? You like it? Yeah, it's a whole new pshat, yeah? So and he says, how can it be? In the Psukim there in Parshas Kisavo, Es Hashem He'emarto, and Vashem He'emircho, we're using Aleph Mem Reish, but it's used in the binyan of the Hifil, which is a particular grammatical form, He'emircho. Here, it's on merit, which is in the Kal. So he says, he asks the Kashan Hashem Shat, how can I justify this? The Aleph Mem Reish here means to extol and to single out as a special friend. It's only used when it means that, it's used in the Hifil. And he answers that by quoting a Pasuk in Yeshaya, and it's in chapter Gimel Pasuk Yud, chapter Gimel Pasuk Yud, where the Pasuk there says, Imru Tzadik Kitov. Imru Tzadik Kitov. Now, what does that mean, Imru Tzadik Kitov? Well, literally, it means, say the righteous man that he is good. So Rashi there says it means declare a tzaddik. Lemi shehu tzaddik. Whoever who is a tzaddik, you should say ki tov osa, that he's done good. That's Rashi's pshat. So Rashi there learns the word imru means say. Aleph memesh meaning to say. Declare the tzaddik to be good. But the Metzudas David learns differently. The Metzudas David says the Imru means praise the tzaddik. I'm sorry, I'm slightly wrong. The Mitzvah Tzaddik goes along with this. Shabchu v'romamu es tzaddik. You should extol the tzaddik. That's not quite the same. You should extol the tzaddik ki osa tzaddik, because he's done good. So, learning that pasuk, Imru Tzaddik Kitov, according to the Mitzvah David, extolling the tzaddik and treat him well is learning Aleph Mem Reish there as well, even though it's in the Kal to mean singling someone out as being someone special. And on that, the Mitzvah, on this pasuk there in Yeshaya, chapter Gimel, the Mitzvah Tzion says that how does this word Imru, how does it mean to extol or to hold in high esteem? Where does it come from? And he says, because there's a thing called an Omir, Aleph Mem Yud Resh. And an Omir are the branches at the top of a tree. And he proves that from a pasuk in Yeshaya, chapter Yud Zayin, pasuk Vav. Let me give you that pasuk, where the pasuk there says, it's a sad pasuk, speaking about Klal Yisrael in quite a bad way, V'nishabu olelos kenok evzayis, not quite sure what that means. It means that the Klal Yisrael are greatly reduced in number. Shalayim shalosha gargarim barosh omir, which is two or three fruits, barosh omir, at the top boughs of a tall tree. And it seems that the top branches should be the most fertile branches. And nonetheless, there's only, the pasuk there says there's only two or three. We're like Klal Yisrael reduced. It's like only two or three of us, even at the top branches. So you have a Rosh Omir. So you've got the word Omir, which means the top branches of a tree. That's how we count, that's the etymology behind this word Aleph Mem Resh, which means to be so great. The top branches are the best branches of the tree. Omir, Emir, Emirates, and Emori, and here we have He'emarzo and He'emircho. That's how the Mi'iri learns it.
So that about
meaning the top of the tree, yeah. That's brought by the Mitzvah Tzion, and you'll find that Mitzvah Tzion in Yeshaya chapter Gimel Pasuk Yud, referring to Yeshaya chapter Yud Zayin Pasuk Vav.
So you're saying that's still Meditation's Ashurish?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Yud is just there.
The Yud is not part of the root, absolutely. Yeah. The Yud is a weak letter. It actually has no sound in that word, Omir. It's got really no sound. It's about Aleph Mem Yud Reish, we can't even hear the Yud. Yeah, the root letter is Aleph Mem Reish. Yeah?
Can I just quickly go back to the Ephron? It wasn't quite clear to me. I understood what you're saying about in the Ephron case, about the analogy about that Avraham Avinu was talking about the future, even though it sounds like he was talking about the past. So what are we saying with Amaretz in this case? Are we saying that, which tense are we saying David HaMelech is speaking in this case?
That it has a future meaning even though it's written in the past.
Remind us what the future meaning is.
That I will say, or you will say, you will continue to declare HaKadosh Baruch Hu as your God.
Oh,
Yeah? That's the idea. Yeah?
Abraham may have ruled Kurdish. He knew that this field was the field of where Adam Marisham was buried. He knew that's where he had to bury him, Sarah. And you say, it's as if I've bought it, I know it's going to happen. You know, I've said so. Once I've said so, that's it. It's a contract. Now let it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Okay. Coming back to this phrase, Tovar Sibal Alecha, my good is not upon you. The Yalkut Mi'amlo is quotes a sefer called Tehillos Avraham, who has, again, a whole new pshat. Tevasi balalecha, the good that I do, says David, balalecha is not down to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's down to me. Why? Because I've got free choice. Hey, you got the zeal kavanah, yeah? Oh, so Louis is going to sponsor the next kiddush in shul for being mechaven to the Yalkut Mi'amleis. Yeah, that's it. I have free will, and therefore tovasi, I'm not pre-programmed to do good. I have bechira, and my bechira is my choice only, and therefore tovasi balalecha, the good that I do is not because of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's because of me, because I have free choice to do good or bad, and I choose to do good. Good, right. Page 5. Okay. Now, the Mossad Rav Kook on these psukim explains that the word tovasi gives a few pshatim on this. It says it could be on merit l'Hashem. Yeah. On merit l'Hashem, you say to Hashem, Hashem Otto, you are my master. And then he says, then he brings the pshat of Asib al-Alecho, he brings the pshat of the Targum, that any good that happens to me is only because of you, Balalecho, it's not through any other source other than you. And then he brings another pshat. Tovasi is in the vocative, addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, talking to Hashem. Tovasi, my good, that's you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm talking to Hashem, and when I call you by using the word Tovasi. Because you are my goodness. And what do I say about you? I say, Balolecho, there's no one else besides you. That's another pshat, yeah? Tevasi, my goodness. So the word Tevasi is addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, addressing him in the vocative, you are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my good. You're my good. Yeah? Yeah. And then he says, then the Mossad Rav Kook goes.
You should say in English, you shouldn't say my goodness now, because it could be.
My goodness.
Could be named Hashem.
Well, the word good in English comes from the word God. Yeah, okay. Then the Mossad Rav Kook goes on to explain that, let's see. Omer Hashem Hashem Otto Tovasi Balalecha L'Kedoshim Asher Ba'oretz Hema. And again, he's referring to the Avodah Zorah. The powers who are deemed to be holy, va'adirei kol chesivam. Sorry, I haven't explained this clearly. David HaMelech says, I'm going to contrast HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Avodah Zorah. How do I do that? Amrat Hashem, I say about God, Hashem Otto, you're my God. Tevasi balalecha, my goodness is not on you. Likedoshim, about those beings that are deemed to be holy but are really not, Asher Ba'oretz, which are on the land, referring to Avodah Zorah that people consider to be holy, and Va'adire and the powerful things, again a reference to Avodah Zorah, Kol Chetzivom, where people say that all my desires are fulfilled through the Avodah Zorah, about all of them, I say, Yibu Atzvosom Achem Oharu, they should have increased sadnesses. So the Mossad Rav Kook there is explaining that the lamed at the beginning of Likadoshim means about those things that are considered holy. Mm-hmm. About the things that are considered holy but are in fact not holy, about them I end up saying, Pasuk Dalet, you brought those song, their sadnesses should increase. That's how he learns it. So the notes follow suit.
They
they indicate which explanation?
I don't know. Do the Nagimus give any indication on the phrasing? They do, but oh, I must tell you, the Nagimus in Tehillim have so far beaten me. They are different from the rest of Tanakh. You remember we learned it once before. Sifrei Emes, Eov, Mishlei, and Tehillim have got their own special structure of Nagimus. There's a whole thing about it at the in the Reb Shimon from Fala Hirsch second volume on Tehillim. A whole thing about it, and I don't understand it. But he's got a whole essay on how the Nagimus work, and so far I haven't understood it. So the answer is probably yes, but I don't know for sure. Oh. A sefer called Eretz HaChaim, a Pirush on Tehillim called Eretz HaChaim, written by a grandson of the Sma. He brings a whole pshat on this. He says as follows. He quotes a piece of... He quotes the Pirkei Rabbi Elezer in Pirkei Yotes, where is a well-known medrash, which we mentioned about a long, long time ago, that... David HaMelech was destined to be a stillborn child. He lived for 70 years. Where did he get those 70 years from? From Adam HaRishon. Yeah. Adam HaRishon, he was destined to live for 1,000 years. Why was he destined to live for 1,000 years? Because he ate from the Eitz Hadas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned him, Pasuk in Bereishis, chapter base, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ki v'yom acholchom imenu mos tamus, on the day that you'll eat from the Eitz Hadas, you will die. And he ate from the Eitz Hadas, but in fact, he didn't die. What happened with David HaMelech? David HaMelech, the Pasuk says, Ki elef shonim be'inecho ki yom esmol. Yeah, Ki elef shonim be'inecho ki yom esmol. Yeah, that he says that... 1,000 years in your eyes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are just like a day. So based on that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, he would have lived forever, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, on the day you eat it, you'll die. But in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mathematics, one day is 1,000 years. Therefore, Adam became destined to live for 1,000 years. Of that 1,000 years, he donated 70 years to David. So David otherwise would have been a stillborn child. He lived for 70 years, and indeed Adam lived for 930 years, 1,000 minus 70. Right. That is a Pirkei de Rabbi Elezer, Pirkei Yotes. And based on that, David HaMelech said, and of course it's in Mizmor Shir Yamash Abbas, it's Tehillim chapter Tzadi Beis, Pasuk Hei, he says, Ki Semachtani Hashem before Lecho, you Hashem have made me happy before Lecho with your work, but Ma'ase Yodecho Aranin, I celebrate or I rejoice over the work of your hands. Who is this Po'alecho? Who is this Ma'ase Yodecho? It's Adam. It's David. I hereby thank Adam for donating 70 years to me. You've made me happy before Lecho with the work of your hands. And Adam is the prototype work of Hashem's hands, right? Created by Hashem directly. So based on that, he was rejoicing over the life of Adam because Adam donated 70 years to him. So there we have one medrash, Pirkei Rabbi Elezer, Pirkei Yotes, that Adam donated 70 years to David. We have a different medrash brought in the Zohar on Parashas Vayishlach, where did David get his 70 years from? Donated by Avraham and Yaakov and Yosef. And it works as follows. Avraham lived for 175 years. His son Yitzchak lived for 180 years, from which we derive that Avraham should also have lived for 180 years. He donated 5 years to David, leaving Avram with 175. So we've got 5 so far, right? Yaakov lived for 147 years, not 175 years, which, like Avraham, lived, thereby donating 28 years. Well, I counted, you worked that out like that. Yeah, donating 28 years to David. Yosef lived for 110 years, not 147 years like his father Yaakov lived. So therefore he donated 37 years. So Avram donated 5, Yaakov donated 28, Yosef donated 37, total 70. And David received 70 years, according to the Zohar, not from Adam, which is what the Pirkei Avos says, but from a combination of Avram, Yaakov, and Yosef. Whichever way you look at it, David received his allotted 70 years from other sources. Why do we need two sources for this? Why? How do we reconcile the Medrash in the Pirkei Avos and the Zohar? So in the Sefer, Eretz HaChaim, in the Pirush on that Sefer, which is called Eretz Yisrael, on that Sefer, he says, because the Gemara says in Brachos that Adam stayed up all night. And he praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chatzos laila okum, he got up at midnight. In other words, he was awake far more than anyone else. And David hardly slept. The Gemara says he slept the sleep like a horse sleeps. A horse sleeps standing up. So a horse barely sleeps. And David barely slept in his life. So based on that, out of his 70 years, he actually got double value. So he got some of it from Adam. He got 70 years allotted time from Adam, and he got 70 years allotted time from Avram, Yaakov, and Yosef, and he needed a double portion because he wasn't just awake in the day, he was also awake in the night time, so he doubled up on his time. However, whichever way you look at it, the fact is that David's allotted lifespan came from others. Based on that, he says, Tovasi Baal Alecha, my goodness is not from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My goodness, my life comes from other people. Either from Adam, if you learn according to the Pirkei Avos, or from Avram, Yaakov, and Yosef, if you learn according to the Zohar. Yeah? One other thing that is added in by the Sefer Eretz HaChaim, he points out that the word Adam is spelled Aleph Dalet Mem, which is the initial letters of Adam, David, Moshiach. Because Adam donated to David, which of course leads to Moshiach. Adam is Aleph Dalet Mem, Adam David Moshiach. And a very similar way on this is the Alshich explains that Amaris LaHashem, Hashem Otto, that you turned to Hashem and you declaimed to be God. And he says that Adam HaRishon, the Pasuk tells us in Bereishis, that Adam HaRishon named all the animals. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought all the animals to Adam and asked him to name them, and Adam named all the animals, the names that were pertinent to each animal. He quotes a Medrash, the Alshech quotes a Medrash, that after he had done that, Hashem then turned to Adam and said, okay, now give me a name. And Adam turned to Hashem and says, I call you Hashem, spelled Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, because you are the Adam, you are the master. So again, this pasuk goes back to Adam HaRishon, Amarat LaHashem, Hashem Otto. You, referring to Adam HaRishon, you were the one who called Hashem, Hashem Otto, Hashem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, you are the master of everything.